Good evening. We're glad you could be with us here this evening. We'll be going to our classes momentarily, but before that, for our devotional this evening, I'd like to share a lesson with you from our Sunday morning junior high class. This past few months, we've been looking at lessons from the book of Exodus. So if you're in my class on Sunday, this should sound familiar. Tonight, I'd like to look at an event in the life of Moses. Exodus chapter 3 is where we'll begin here in just a moment. We know that Moses was one of the great heroes of faith. And we can read about that in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, there we go. Well, I had it there a moment. Try it again. Well, let's read. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning at verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. In this particular lesson, I'd like to look at a time before this, at a time when Moses was struggling with his faith. There we go. Thank you. We know that in Romans chapter 15 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the things that were written in the Old Testament were written for our learning. Romans 15:4 tells us, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 tells us, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Now, hopefully we'll probably never have to lead a large group of people through the Red Sea, or hopefully we'll never have to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, but we can learn important lessons from these accounts in the Old Testament. So our text for this evening is Exodus chapter 3. And in this particular chapter, the scene is on Mount Horeb. And there the Lord, as we know, speaks to Moses through the burning bush. He explains to Moses that he's about to fulfill his promise. After 400 years of captivity in Egypt, the covenant of bringing the Israelites to the promised land would be fulfilled. It's in verse number 8 of chapter 3. So I'm imagining what Moses is thinking up to this point. He's probably in agreement and excited to hear this good news about the fulfillment of the covenant with the Israelites. Then comes the exciting news in verse number 10. He says in verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I'm sure he had some doubts about what God had just told him. From our viewpoint, this choice of Moses makes sense. Who would be better prepared for this huge task? Moses was raised in Pharaoh's palace, so he would have known about Egyptian customs. And no doubt he was taught the ways of God by his Hebrew mother as she brought him up. You would think Moses would be excited about this opportunity to do this for the Lord, but he has reservation. In fact, as you go on and read through this account in chapters 3 and 4, he begins to make excuses to God why he should not be the one to do this. Starting in verse 11 of chapter 3, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And then if you go down to chapter 4, verse number 1, Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" And then you go further to verse number 10 of chapter 4. Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And finally, Moses sums it all up with this statement in verse number 13. He said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." In other words, send anybody else but me. So as I read through this, this doesn't really sound like a hero of faith. Perhaps Moses was afraid. Moses had to learn to trust in the Lord. Even though God reminds Moses throughout this encounter that he will be with him. We can see those examples in chapter 3 and verse number 12. He says, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then in chapter 4, verse number 12, he says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." And again in verse 15, he says, "Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth," speaking of Aaron, "and I will teach you what you shall do." God had been preparing Moses for this moment for the past 80 years, 40 years in the land of Egypt, and 40 years Moses lived in the land of Midian. Instead of realizing that God was going to be with him, Moses focused instead on his fears. What could have been running through his mind at this point? Well, Moses could have been thinking about his past mistakes. We read a few verses earlier in chapter 2 of Exodus that as a younger man, Moses had killed an Egyptian as he defended one of the Hebrews. Moses thought he had left that life behind 40 years ago, and now he was wondering what would happen to him if he returned to Egypt now. Moses could have been thinking about present obstacles. In reading this exchange with the Lord, we see that Moses is so concerned about his present situation that he forgets about God's promises and God's abilities. "I'm not an eloquent speaker. What is Pharaoh going to say? How would the Hebrews react to me returning home? What if they rejected him? What if the Egyptians tried to kill him?" By looking at all these small situations, Moses was missing the big picture of God and his promises and his power. Now, we know that eventually, the rest of the story, that Moses did learn to trust in God, as Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that we just read. And we know that the Lord was with Moses just as he had promised. So the application for us today is this. What is keeping you from serving the Lord? Could it be past mistakes? Is there something in our past that we think cannot be forgiven? The Apostle Paul was able to overcome his past mistakes. We read in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 14. He says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief."
However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
That's verses 14 through 17. He says, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Paul was able to find forgiveness for his past, and so can we today. Notice there that Paul calls it a pattern to those who are going to believe. That's us. That is, the mercy that was shown to Paul was an example for us that God would show mercy to us as well. What is holding us back? Could it be our present obstacles? Just like Moses, are we so focused on the problems around us that we forget about the power and the promises of God?
Here's a couple from Romans chapter 8, well-known verses. It says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Romans 8:31 tells us that God is on our side and that all things work together for good in verse 28.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper.
I will not fear. And finally, 2 Timothy
chapter 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
After his encounter with the Lord, if you go on and read in Exodus chapter 4, it
simply says in the next verse,
so Moses went. Moses made that decision to trust in God, even with his doubts, and follow God's will to the best of his ability. And that's the lesson for us as well. Moses was not a perfect man, but he was faithful. What about us today? Will we have the determination to take God at his word and step out in faith? If you have not yet become a Christian, what is stopping you today? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 tells us that baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. And we encourage you to make that decision tonight. If you are in need of the prayers of the church, we invite you to come also as we together stand and sing.
I found my Lord and he is mine. He won me by his love. I'll serve him all my years of time and dwell with him above. His yoke is easy, his burden is light.
I found it so.
His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow. No other Lord but Christ I know.
I walk with him alone. His streams of love forever flow. Throne. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow.
Be seated, please.